You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to The Light Show. My name is Dr. Kate DeVries. I work in the Young Adult Ministry Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I am here with our director, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
And good morning, Dr. Kate. How are you?
I am well, thanks. How are you?
Well, we need to let our listeners know, and the director of the Office of Radio and Television for the Archdiocese, who's listening in his car, that this is a historical moment.
Yay, and that would be Mr. Jim Dish. We are delighted to be in the new and improved radio studio of the Archdiocese of Chicago. So this is the very first show. We're premiering and christening the studio today, and we are delighted that our listeners have joined us this morning for this event.
And so we're the first, and if there's any kinks this morning?
don't blame us.
Don't blame us, and don't blame the director. He's out of the office.
That's right. We're rolling with the spirit in a lot of ways this morning.
But this gives us a wonderful opportunity, because we've been doing this now on the second Wednesday of the month for the last several years, to also thank, besides Jim Dish, who does such an admirable job at the Director of Radio and TV, to thank both Brian Brock and our producer today, Michael May, who's on the other side of the glass here this morning. They do this such a wonderful job for the diocese. And for those of us who are privileged on this 1 hour to share some of the wisdom that we may have and some of the work that we do on the airwaves of Relevant Radio through the cooperation with the Archdiocese of Chicago. So that's what we're about.
That's exactly right. And Michael May and Brian Brock are also the geniuses of getting the website up, or the radio shows up on our website, so that we can listen.
So each month when we finish our radio show, because not everybody has an opportunity to tune in live, within about 24 hours, each one of our radio shows, The Light Show, is posted on the Young Adult Ministry website, where it can be easily downloaded, so that people can either download this show to their computer, to an MP3 player, if they're going out for a walk or a run, exercising in a health club, driving to and from work, they can pop the show in and off we go.
And the Office of Radio and Television has also graciously helped us to create other things to put on our website that you can download. And right now, it being the second week of Advent, in the middle of the second week of Advent, we created for Advent an Advent reflection piece called Be Watchful. We pulled it right out of the first readings for Advent, Jesus saying, be watchful, be aware, look around you, let's grow deeper spiritually in these sacred 4 weeks. So that reflection is also available.
And our website is www, as all websites are, yamchicago.org, yamchicago.org. And if you go to that website, you will see right on the front page where you can click to get this audio interpretation of the season of Advent. I think you're going to find it very, very refreshing and very peaceful. We've put together some wonderful songs, some reflections, some readings, scripture. One of our colleagues in the Young Adult Ministry, Mr. Terry Shelley, has shared a wonderful reflection on letting go of a friend and how powerful that was as really a moment of encountering his God. And we're also delighted that two of the reflections on there were written by the the person who does them, and that's Kathleen Falsani. Kathleen is the religion writer for the Chicago Sun-Times, and she has written a marvelous book on grace called Sin Boldly. And she has a marvelous little reading on our audio, our Advent audio, on Sister Annunciata from the far southeast side and how she impacted Kathleen's life. So, as we said, our website, you can find it, www.yamchicago.org.
And just one more piece about our office. You are always welcome to call us. If you are a young adult, someone in their 20s and 30s, and you want to get more connected, or if you know a young adult who you think might benefit from being more connected, just give us a call, 312-466-9473. Again, 312-466-9473. Socorro Perez, our wonderful administrative assistant, is in the office now, and she can help you, and we'll be happy to help you or any young adults you know any way that we possibly can.
And we also are privileged through our office to send out an email almost several times a month, just keeping young adults, and Kate mentioned those in their 20s and 30s, whether they be single or married, informed about a variety of activities sponsored for young adults across the Archdiocese of Chicago, and sometimes just some reflections and different things that we feel might be of some help to them. And when you go onto our website, I think if you look on the bottom left of the opening page, you'll see a way to add an email address. Mm-hmm. So if you're a young adult and you just would like to get another email, this one giving you a little information from the Catholic Church about things that are pertinent to you and to your generation. We'd ask you to just load your email address right there, and lo and behold, within the weeks to come, we will give you some information about Christmas, particularly Christmas Midnight Mass. We'll make that announcement during our time together today, and a number of different things. There are over 5,000. People, young adults who are on our e-list, as we call it, and we'd like to have you sign up on that. And if you happen to be a parent, a grandparent, or a colleague of somebody who's in their 20s and 30s, feel free to file their email address with us, and we'll take it from there.
Yay. That was a bit of a commercial. And now really to our topic today, it is Advent. And Advent is such a sacred time in our church. It really is time to just slow down and regroup and focus a little bit about Christ in our midst, focus a lot on Christ in our midst. So we want to take the hour today and do exactly that. We'd like to use a little bit of scripture, a little bit of prayer, a little bit of music, and just talk through some Advent traditions, maybe give you an inkling of what's on that Advent reflection. So just thank you for joining us today. We just want to slow down.
And so for the next 53 minutes, we're going to use this as reflective time. We're going to do some wonderful songs. And as Kate said, share some understandings of the season. And just give us an opportunity in the midst of all that's going on to be still a little bit, to be reflective, and to look for the coming of the Lord. So let's begin. And we hope you enjoy this time together with us as we're looking forward to sharing it with you this morning.
So why don't we begin with a song? We have some wonderful music provided by World Library Publications. And the first song is entitled Pavin. It's a lovely instrumental, so we invite you to put today in God's hands, to just take a deep breath, to relax and enjoy.
Right.
Thank you. Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever. Great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, you rock.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries, and we are focusing on Advent.
Right.
Going out before break, we heard a lovely guitar piece by Ron Randeck, and we are delighted that World Library is sponsoring our music today.
And this being Advent, we thought it would be helpful as we move through this time together to talk a little bit, Kate, about the development of Advent. One of the great things of Catholicism is that we are, for lack of a better word, an old religion. That means we collect great traditions as the story of Jesus Christ continues to encounter the world in which we live and so many different expressions of that world that have gone before us in the last 2,000 years. And it's really shaped different things in our church, and it's certainly shaped Advent a little bit. So, Kate, how about, can you walk us through a little bit this Advent season, historically? It's the 4 weeks before Christmas, which is essentially the 4 weeks of December, give or take a couple days sometimes. And how has that been shaped and formed throughout the history of the Roman Catholic Church?
Okay. Well, first, the word Advent comes from the word Adventus, which means itself to come. And we're celebrating two different elements at this time of the year. First, we're looking forward to the future. The parousia is the big church fancy word, the coming of Christ. We are looking for Christ to reign King eternal forever and ever. We are also looking back, though, to that very first Christmas when God came to the world and took on flesh and dwelled among us. So we've got this twofold character of Advent. And it is now for us a season of waiting for that second coming, a season of conversion, a season of getting ourselves ready, a season of living the kingdom right here and now, and a season of hope. We hope for good things. We hope for blessings in our midst. A little bit of historical background. Advent grew out of the Christmas celebration, So we had the birth of Christ, and then we started celebrating weeks leading up to the birth of Christ, kind of in preparation, much like Lent is preparation before Easter. But in the 4th century in France, there started to be 3 days of fasting in the week prior to the Feast of St. Martin. There was fasting going on several days a week for weeks up until Christmas, and it actually lasted through Epiphany, so from the very 4th century, the 300s. Then later on in the 6th century, Irish missionaries emphasized the Last Judgment, and Advent became a season of preparing for Christ's second coming, of really being repentant for your sins. It included elements of fasting and prayer, and that's where our purple vestments came into the liturgy. Much like during Lent, we wanted to prepare ourselves and truly get ready for Christ's coming. Then, thirdly, in Rome, under Pope Gregory the Great, the four-week celebration of Advent really developed. It was in the 6th century, and prayers began to focus on Christ's incarnation, so God coming to dwell with us, within us, and among us.
That's where we come from.
That's where we come from.
And the probably today, in terms of our own spirituality, Advent is looking for those breakthroughs in daily life where we encounter Christ. We have the historical event of the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, and we have, as Kate has mentioned, the eschatological, that's such a fancy word, of the second coming of Christ in glory, and that interim in-between time of those two comings of Christ are those breakthroughs in each one of our lives. Perhaps they are a moment of honesty, a moment of forgiveness, a moment when we look at someone and realize that they may not be a beggar or a bum, but they are also a child of God. When we begin to realize that God's life has rooted itself in the world in which we live. And sometimes when we look for this advent of Christ, we see a tremendous challenge. We hear the angels at the announcement to the shepherds that peace to those of goodwill, and we take that peace that this Christ brought in the flesh and then use the flesh of our eyes to look at a world that is far from living in peace and say, what's my part in that? I can't stop a war in the Middle East. I can't go out and fight the Taliban and say, this is not a way to live. But what is the way this Advent 2008 that I incorporate the spirituality of the peace of Christ in my own life, that I won't trash talk somebody. I won't be a negative influence and voice in the world, but I will bring Christ's life by how I live, by how I speak to other people. So these to me are some of my own personal challenges at Advent, and to see how we are living that out that began throughout history, worked its way from the monks of Ireland, put its way through all of the celebrations that we have today.
And it's interesting, Father Cusick, that it's the time of year when we are doing so many things. We are shopping and cooking and cleaning and baking and decorating and running around and Christmas pageants and Christmas parties. And we are so busy in the secular world. But yet, when we come into church on Sunday, there's a different feel, isn't there? I love this season that, you know, that we've got the bluish purple going on our altars, the colors, and then the scents, the smells, of the candles that are burning. We've got lights, one candle a week. We'll discuss that a little bit later. But that sense of there's something different going on. There's something new happening. There's something about to happen. There's, you know, we talked about the historical elements of the penance and preparing, but yet Advent is a time of joyful expectation.
Exactly.
It's a time of preparing for the excitement of the birth of Christ and the coming of Christ. Even looking a little closer at liturgy, we do sing the Alleluia throughout Advent, unlike in Lent. But the Gloria is taken away. We really are holding back just a little bit so that on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, all of the choirs of angels can rejoice and sing out glory to God in the highest and peace to God's people on earth. It's going to ring out again in all its fullness. So there's a joyful anticipation. But it's interesting that in the world we kind of have to rev up. But in our church, in our spirituality, our sense, our tradition as Catholics right now says, yes, we understand all of that's going on, but can you slow down enough to make room for Christ to come anew this year? So I think that's a challenge. It's a pretty good challenge.
And there's a lot going on, obviously. And it's very difficult sometimes to, if there's such a thing as to say, how do you get in an Advent mood? Because it's almost counterculture.
Yeah.
Advent is absolutely lost because we we anticipate Christmas, and everything is bright and cheerful and Christmas. And the frightening thing is Christmas comes, and by 6 p.m. on Christmas night, it's gone. We're on to the next event. And so maybe that's why going to church these weeks is so critically important, because it reminds us of what we're headed for and what we're going to celebrate. And when we come back, we're going to begin with the gospel, one of the gospels for Advent, to give us a focus on what Christ is calling us to and to see how we can keep our eyes wide open, to be watchful, to be awake, and to see if there are some spiritual practices that might go with that in this very, very busy season of the year. So we'll be back, and we'll keep alive this magic of the Advent season.
If today you hear the voice of God, open up your heart and listen to His word. If today you hear the voice of God,
bound to the God who made us, for we
Welcome back. I'm Father John Cusick, and across this wonderful table in this new studio here for the Archdiocese of Chicago's Office of Radio and Television is my colleague, Dr. Kate DeVries, and our monthly opportunity to be with you and to reflect through our work in the Office of Young Adult Ministry with those in their 20s and 30s on some of the wonderful traditions that are a part of our Catholic faith. And this being the Advent season, these weeks before Christmas, our hope today is to give us this opportunity to just to focus a little bit and get our minds off of some of the headlines that have been quite sad, some of the presses and demands that are put on us by a tight economy, by all the glitter and glare of what we're supposed to be like this time of the year, and try to focus on for lack of a better word, the reason for the season. When we entered church on the first weekend of Advent, whether it was Saturday night Mass or on Sunday morning, the priest or the deacon said, "The Lord be with you," when it came time for the gospel of Christ. And these were the words that we heard, and they really, I think, set the tone, Kate, for Advent. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Now be watchful and be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like someone traveling abroad who leaves home and places servants in charge, each with their own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at a cockcrow or in the morning. May the Lord not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch."
And so let us pray. Emmanuel, God with us, be with us along this journey through Advent. We are so very busy this time of the year. These short days before Christmas are absolutely packed, yet we sincerely desire to stay focused on you, the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Guide us during these fast-paced, cold, dark weeks. Help us to be watchful. Help us to stay awake. Slow down our racing minds. Inflame our willing hearts. Saturate our thirsting souls with love beyond all love, so that we might grow deeper in love for you and one another. We pray through Christ, Emmanuel. Amen.
Amen. Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. Kate, I must admit that I never really paid much attention to those words in my younger years, I suppose, because they always reminded me that, ooh, maybe the world's going to end.
And, what are we watching for?
Yeah,
oh, my goodness, it's a big event.
So I said, well, I'm not going to pay much attention to
okay.
that. And then as I went through with seminary programs, you began to read a little bit that some of these scripture passages really were focusing on the end of times. And for a lot of the early followers of Christ, the world ended for all practical purposes in the year 70 when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, the people were dragged away, and I suppose it's like anybody who finds themselves in a huge conflagration. They say, my God, this is the worst possible thing going on.
Right, and remember when Jesus left, he said, I'm coming back.
Right.
So they were waiting every
right.
day looking up to the heavens. You know, they watched Jesus leave, now they want to watch him come back.
Right. But I think what's interesting now is what I have sort of put on the back burner for so many years, be watchful, be alert, you do not know when the time will come. It's amazing how these time-honored words of Christ have become more and more a part of our personal and almost our social vocabulary in the last number of years. Think back for a minute. Ever since September 11, 2001, that horrible, horrible day in history, in particular the history of the United States, the phrase "be watchful and be alert" has become more important. And since that day in history, it has really taken on an entirely new meaning. Now think about this, those of you who are with us today. On trains, buses, planes, in waiting rooms, public places, airports, there's a new watchfulness and a very, very heightened vigilance that we've never experienced before. If you ride the Metro train in and out of the city of Chicago, and above the door there's a scroll, one of those scrolling signs, and here's what's on it. If you see something, say something.
Do not leave your bags unattended. If you see an unattended bag, let security know. All unattended bags will be confiscated by the police. Report suspicious activity to the police. Excuse me. Do not accept packages from people you do not know. For your own safety and the safety of others, your belongings are subject to search. Please cooperate with authorities.
So be watchful and be alert that comes out of the gospel. You do not know when the time will come has really become the homeland security kind of issue that is a part of us. But I think what's fascinating, Kate, is that in the scripture, we're not looking for things that can go wrong. We're not looking for the possibility of violence and terror attacks, but we're looking for things to go right. And the right is the advent of Christ. But I think, you know, and it'd be a good question for all of us, has your vigilance changed? If you travel by air, when you're sitting in your seat, do you watch people getting on your flight a lot more than you did in the past? Have you seen the security cameras that are practically everywhere? You see them on poles in parking lots. They're in the corners of convenience stores. You go to the bank, and there, whether you're in your car or you walk into the teller, look, there are cameras glaring at you from almost everywhere. Everyone's looking for danger, hoping to capture people who will do us harm and violence. But in these Advent weeks, to be watchful is to look for the coming of God. Those moments of grace, of hope and possibility, the divine presence breaks through our life most any time. You do not know when the time will come, when the time of God is upon us. So it's an important time.
You know, Father Cusick, it's reminding me of the definition of faith and seeing through the lens of our Christian faith. And now looking at this time in our world, this Advent season, looking through the lens of faith, like putting on a pair of eyeglasses, you're seeing things through a particular slant with a particular point of view. And if we do look for Christ in the midst of things, we're going to find Christ in the midst of things.
Exactly.
There's all sorts of bad things going on, but God is in the midst of it all. Grace abounds. There truly is the power of the Holy Spirit in and among us all. It's refreshing to know that God is so close. And it is a wonderful time to be on the lookout for moments of God. You
Absolutely.
Know, it's great when life-changing things, big things happen. But to look for God even in the little thing, every moment of every day, where's God right now in our midst?
So amazingly, the words of the Lord are as current today as they were then. Be watchful, be awake. You do not know when the hour has come. And let's pray that it comes today.
Yes, and through the eyes of Ed Boldick and his wonderful song, If Today, let's just sit back and enjoy that.
If today you hear the voice of God, open up your heart and listen to his word. If today you hear the voice of God, harden not your hearts, harden not your hearts. Come sing your joy to
Chicago Bears executive Pat McCaskey attended a Catholic elementary school, high school, and university. He's glad he did.
The Bears have always emphasized community work, and I learned how to do that in the Catholic schools.
The Catholic schools of Cook and Lake Counties enjoy extremely high attendance and graduation rates, and they put students on a clear-cut path to college.
My wife and I have been blessed with three sons. We want our sons to continue to attend faith-based schools.
Pat McCaskey is backing a new Catholic schools initiative, Lessons That Last a Lifetime. Call 312-655-8486 for more information. That's 312-655-8486. Support Lessons That Last a Lifetime.
Good character and gospel values are just as important as good grades.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And we're back. This is Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries, and we're taking us on a little journey this morning through the season of Advent. And Kate, one of the wonderful traditions of Catholicism when we celebrate daily Mass are the saints. And there are some saints that really are, in feast days, that are really particularly important in the season of Advent. We celebrated two of them already, December 6th and December 8th. And we have several more coming up, December 12th and I think December 13th, if I'm not mistaken. How about we talk about the relevance of that a little bit? The first one is St. Nicholas and all of the Santa Claus stuff. If you want to, probably want to figure out where it began. It began with St. Nicholas, who has been around, he lived in the world centuries and centuries ago, and he was a caring bishop who actually went from door to door to see if people were okay and children were okay, and he gave them little treats, and that sort of began this whole phenomenon of gift-giving, of caring for people, and he wasn't going down chimneys, and they weren't putting out cookies. And
I don't know. Are you sure about that, Father Cusick?
Milk. Yeah,
no flying reindeer at that time?
No. But a gentle man of God who cared for his people, and particularly children. He's sort of one of the patrons of children.
He is the patron saint of children,
and,
yes.
And it's a huge feast in some countries, particularly in the European continent, where the Feast of St. Nicholas is really almost the first celebration of Christmas, because he was the one who brought the care of Christ to other people.
Yes. And, of course, one of our most central figures during Advent is the Blessed Virgin Mary, whose day we celebrated on December 8th. That was exciting. Mary just plays such a wonderful role in our church as a woman of grace who said yes to God and birthed the child into the world. So great love and admiration for Mary. Lots of novenas, lots of rosaries, lots of prayers and celebrations going on right now.
And 4 days after the Feast of the Immaculate Conception is another Mary feast.
Yes.
And that is huge, particularly in the Mexican community, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And actually, I think it's the day before now, or maybe it's, I think it could be today. Today is the Feast of St. Juan Diego.
Actually, yesterday, Father Cusick, December
9th.
I'm off
a day.
Yeah.
And Juan Diego was the person to whom the Virgin of Guadalupe appeared. And you found something fascinating. I assume those of you who come out of the Hispanic culture, particularly the Mexican Catholic Mexican community, are very aware of it. But Kate pointed something out that is in the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe that was new to me.
Yeah, and I had to look it up. I did an image search on Google yesterday to see, again, the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe because I hadn't caught this before. She is in many images wearing a black sash around her waist, and at the time that was worn by pregnant women, and that indicates that Mary is indeed carrying the infant Jesus in her womb. So Our Lady of Guadalupe, when she appeared to Juan Diego, was with child. So that was exciting. Other images, other details about her. She usually has rays of light behind her. She has angels at her feet. She often has stars on her actual gown. Those are all cosmic symbols. Back to the parousia, the coming of Christ,
right.
The heaven and earth uniting. Mary as part of that great cosmic energy, that the divine swirling around us, that, again, through Mary, heaven and earth have united.
Absolutely, and that's the whole thing of Advent. You know,
yes.
It's the coming of the Lord, connecting everything together.
And even Our Lady of Guadalupe, that sense of waiting, that sense of longing, that
right.
sense being with child, the expectation when the child is born, the expectation when Christ is in our midst,
right.
and now to be watchful for Christ in our midst. What a wonderful symbol Our Lady of Guadalupe is.
And her bringing the Christ within her to the poor,
yes.
the real powerful message. This is such a time of the year when people are asked to be gracious and charitable, and I couldn't reinforce that enough, particularly this year's a tough year. This is going to be a very, very hard year for a lot of people. But I have a sneaking suspicion, even when the economy is tough and people's finances are really being stretched, even if we can give a little out of the generosity of all that we have to those who have less, it's really a coming of Christ to someone else. Now, Kate, as you know, I'm one of these people who gets fascinated by Advent this time of the year because it's positioned in the darkest time of the year.
Oh, that's right.
And that has a lot to do with an Advent wreath, but it also has a lot to do with one of the other saints whose feast is celebrated, and that's the Saint Lucy.
Yes.
And if my dear friend Sister Lucy, with whom I was privileged to work for many years at Angel Guardian Orphanage, might be listening, we're going to wish her a happy feast day on December 13th. And Lucy is the word for light, and this feast of Lucy is particularly dominant in the Scandinavian countries, which this time of the year, very much like our own Alaska, it is really dark.
Really? Like it was at 5:30 this morning?
Yeah,
music?
Really dark. And what? Where is the Feast of Lucy celebrated in the darkest time of the year? Interestingly, at one time, we celebrate we live with the Gregorian calendar, but the Julian calendar the Pope, at one time, on the Feast of Lucy, they celebrated that as winter solstice. It was the darkest day of the year. And they put a Catholic saint whose name was Light because it's all about the light of Christ. It's all about light in darkness. And to this day, the oldest daughter, when Lucy is celebrated in the Scandinavian countries, wears a crown of candles that in the midst of all that is dark, we look for the coming of light. And that's the Advent, the coming of Christ, the light of the world. So these are amazing kind of things that have crept into our culture and other cultures, all because of an announcement to Mary about the birth of Christ. And what we're going to do, I think, are we about ready to take a break? We've got a few glitches this morning because there's a lot of new things going on here. We're going to focus a little bit on the Advent wreath and why we light a light a week. And how that might connect with another religion's tradition, and then spend the last few minutes, and then we're going to do a little prayer, and we're going to do another reflective song. But I think we're ready to take a little bit of a break and a little bit of a song and to be at peace on this Advent Day in 2008.
Stay with you as
what you will of me. I am glorified in you, in your bearing of this fruit. You are my child forever, and I will live in you.
Whether they are young or old, hungry or addicted, homeless or friendless, Catholic Charities walks with its clients, bringing them help and hope. For 90 years, Catholic Charities has empowered families and individuals of all races and religious backgrounds in communities throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. Help Catholic Charities fulfill its mission to serve the poor and underprivileged. If you can help, visit our website at CatholicCharities.net or mail a donation to Catholic Charities, 721 North of South Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Thank you.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Hi, this is Father John Cusick, along with Dr. Kate DeVries, and we're focusing a little bit this morning, or whenever you have a privileged moment to listen to this little thing on Advent. We run the Young Adult Ministry Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and that's the church's outreach to those in their 20s and 30s. And this is the time of the year, as Kate mentioned, when we walk in the church and the colors of vestments are different, But there's that wonderful thing up around the altar someplace called an Advent wreath. And the symbolism behind that, and the great thing of our religion is that we are a religion of sign and symbol. Everything has a meaning behind it. And the Advent wreath really is, it's the lighting of one light a week for 4 weeks. And when you consider that these 4 weeks before Christmas are the 4 weeks leading to the darkest, what we would call the darkest day of the year, and that's the winter solstice. The sun is in its further southern position from the earth, and as the earth continues its rotation around the sun begins to come back. It's the return of the sun, which begins around the 21st to 22nd of December. So what we're doing is, as it gets darker, we light a light. And we come back the next week to a darker week, we light two lights. Mm-hmm. And then as we get closest to the darkest time of the year, we light, another candle. Until this year, on December 21st at 12:04 a.m., is the winter solstice. It cannot get any darker than it does at that time, and then we begin to celebrate the return of the sun. And the Advent wreath not only has the four candles for the 4 weeks prior, so as the world gets darker, we begin to light it up. And what do we begin to do after we light it up all the way to the fourth Sunday of Advent? We celebrate the return of the Son of God, the light of the world at Christmas. And that was the earliest celebration of Christmas, that the Son of God comes to warm the earth, to warm the hearts, to pour life into every one of us. The Advent wreath is circular, and legend has it that the first Advent wreath, because most of these traditions came out of a very rural and agrarian part of the world, was a wagon wheel, just flipped over. And what they did is they wrapped evergreen branches through the wagon wheel to make a circle. And the evergreen, in the coldest days of the year and the darkest time of the year, is evergreen. It does not change. It's that immortality, that presence of God, that God is with us in light and dark, in good times and bad, alone or with others, sickness and health. And that is all wrapped up in our Advent wreath. And so we light our lights. We have the circle, which has no beginning and no end. We have something that is ever green and bright. And it's just a wonderful tradition for us as we move into these darkest days of the year. So that's our Advent wreath. And this week, we light three of those four candles. It's getting darker outside and getting brighter inside.
And what a wonderful opportunity to do a little tradition of your own in your own home, to have, you know, some sense of an Advent wreath with just a little couple of twigs from your Christmas tree. If you've got a live Christmas tree in your house or some branches, you can just make your own little Advent wreath and continue to let the light of Christ shine. Some thoughts on prayer. You can find some wonderful reflections on that Advent reflection on our website at yamchicago.org. But just two thoughts for today. The first is, in staying with our first gospel, to watch, to be aware, to stay awake. We know what it means to stay awake physically, but Jesus is asking us to stay awake spiritually. And one strategy for doing that is to stay present to the present. So as you move through your day today, can you always be 100% where you are? Can you give your undivided attention to the people you are with every step of the day, today, and for the rest of Advent? It's a hard thing to do. It's tricky to stay present to the present. As we said earlier, our minds are pulled in many, many different directions. But if you can be present to the moment, you are indeed spiritually awake, and you are more likely to find the presence of God in our midst, to find Jesus surrounding us. A second thought about prayer. Just one option is to just give 5 minutes a day to God. Just 5 minutes, just you and God. So to find a quiet place and light a candle, take a deep breath, make the sign of the cross, and consider a very simple greeting. Here I am, Lord, or come, O come, Emmanuel, to invite God into your midst, with or without words, with or without music, just to be in God's presence. So two thoughts, and again, there's more on the Advent Reflections on our website.
And that website is at yamchicago.org. And in another minute, we're going to go and leave you with a little musical meditation. But before we do that, a couple announcements mm-hmm. to help us prepare for the coming of Christ at Christmas.
Yes.
This coming Sunday, what's that, the 12th? I think it's the 14th, whatever.
13th.
Of December.
Today's the 10th.
I am privileged to present what is called an adult appreciation of the Christmas story. It's a wonderful opportunity. I look forward to it every year to open the Gospels of Luke and Matthew mm-hmm. and help us appreciate, for adults, a story that is an encounter with God, the incarnation, the birth of the physical Christ among us. And that'll be at 9:30 at Old St. Patrick's Church in downtown Chicago, and it'll be repeated again at 6:15 at Old St. Patrick's Church in downtown Chicago on the corner of Adams and Des Plaines. And there probably will be some information about that on our website.
Absolutely, Father Cusick, it's already there.
And then lastly, Kate, I think we have a special announcement.
We are so excited about this. Father Michael Sparrow, who's our Jesuit counterpart doing young adult ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago and beyond, is going to be joining us for Midnight Mass, and we're actually hosting it at Loyola University's Lakeshore campus, Madonna della Strada Chapel.
We are so excited. One of the most beautiful sanctuaries and churches in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And it's just been refurbished and reworked and right on the banks of Lake Michigan. It's so glorious. And Father Michael Sparrow has his own gifts. Father Cusick is an amazing preacher. Father Michael Sparrow is an amazing preacher. We are combining efforts, and it's going to be wonderful.
And everyone's welcome. And if you know people who are looking for a celebration of Midnight Mass, have them come and join us. Parking will be available at Loyola University.
Yes.
On the campus, we'll have signs up for that.
Absolutely.
And Madonna della Strada is easily visible, and we'll also be able to direct people. Kate is putting together some wonderful musicians and singers, and we're going to do some Christmas caroling at 11:30. And Father Sparrow and I will gather with all who choose to be with us for Christmas Midnight Mass, which I think is the most sacred night.
It is incredibly sacred.
The sacred night of the entire year. And you're welcome to join us.
People of all ages are welcome. So thank you so much for listening. We're going to send you out with one more little meditation piece. But a blessed Advent to you and a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
And we'll see you next year.
Yay.
May God be good to us all.
Amen.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.